everybody, and welcome to our very special episode of Tech Talks. I'm your host, Cora Sargent, one of the tutors on the course. Thank you so much for joining us. On today's very special episode, we are here with some amazing trainee educational psychologists who themselves are just a few months away from being dead centre of the course now, right in the middle of their training, and there's no better people to ask about their experience on the course. We have got a list of questions that prospective trainees have asked and would like answered, and these amazing trainees have very kindly offered their time to try to answer them. Would you guys introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'm Sophie.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Beckett.
And I'm Alex.
Thank you very much. So let's get started. The first question people would like answered is, with the benefit of hindsight, is there anything you'd wish you'd known and taken into consideration when applying for the course?
I think maybe I would have... I had an idea that maybe I would have a bit more free time than I have, being honest. So maybe just realising... kind of for things like planning ahead, that sometimes during half terms you might have an essay or something to do, so you can't necessarily always go away. I think it's just something to bear in mind as to whether you're kind of, you've got that space to carve out in your life kind of thing.
I can cut long pauses, it's totally fine. I'll just make it sound like it was off the cuff in the editing.
I think I personally... similar to Sophie, I find it quite difficult to work in the evening, so a lot of my weekends are taken up with doing work, so then you just got to take into consideration when you do have time for yourself. So if you're someone that happily can work into the evenings, then that might be something you can easily have time off on the weekends, but I personally can't, so then my weekends are full of working sometimes, but it's not all the time. It's when there's particular pinch points in the course. I think some weekends it's absolutely fine to have a weekend off and not do work.
Yeah, it's actually probably that's quite a good thing to know, isn't it? That kind of ebbs and flows, and there are really, yeah, bits when it's really busy, but then bits when it's calmer. So as long as you kind of know that you've got a bit of a break coming, then I suppose that makes it a bit more manageable.
And similarly, I find it easier to do work in the mornings, and by the time I get to the end of the day, I am just quite tired. And use those weekends or like half terms to catch up, whereas there are some people on the course who would work quite hard during the week, like in the evenings, and then would do more things at weekends and would have like take weekends off.
I think so, like however busy it is really important to make sure you are making that time for yourself, because I think you tend to kind of see what you have to do and think, yeah, I can do that within 2 hours and I can do that after I've done the other task. But actually, like Alex says, you do feel quite tired at the end of the day, and you do need to make sure that you're also kind of planning in time for yourself just to breathe a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and there is always a sense of something to do. Like, there is probably always something that you could be doing to extend the knowledge or doing some work. But actually, it's really important to set aside that time for yourself, to look after yourself, really.
It's one of the things that we don't necessarily describe overtly about the course, isn't it? That actually there's an implicit expectation that there are going to be pinch points that it is going to demand quite a lot of your time.
Yeah.
But ultimately, these guys are all still standing, so we're just coming over. So the next question, quite closely related, how do you find the workload overall?
I think, like we were just saying, there are times when the workload is quite high and there are pinch points, but I think the tutors on the course are quite understanding about that. They know when those particular pinch points are, and there is always good communication. Well, for me, last year when I was in my first year, there was a good understanding of that from my placement field tutor, so he would always know when I had less work going on at uni or more work, and then he would manage my placement workload accordingly. So yeah, there are particular pinch points where things are quite difficult, but I think you just have to be an expert managing your time during those times.
Yeah, and where you're maybe juggling different demands, like academic demands and then placement demands, I think kind of giving yourself like clear days where you're like, this is a placement day, I'm only going to do placement stuff, and then maybe on your Friday study day, dedicating like a whole day to just doing an essay or something. I think that could be quite helpful to kind of divide it up and not try to let everything like interweave too much, maybe. Quite helpful.
I think as well, because everyone's quite open with sort of when all the deadlines are going to be and things like that, so I think that's quite helpful to know that you can sort of plan ahead of time when you're going to be using your time and how you're going to be using it, so you can, like Sophie said, kind of keep those boundaries in place.
I think the important thing with workload, the thing that I've learned, it's very easy, or it's been easy for me to just like Beckett was saying earlier, think, right, I can do that, I've got this amount of time, so I can do this in that 2 hours, and then straight away after I'll dedicate my time to this. But then ultimately your productivity is affected by that because you're not resting, so it is important to make sure that you're making time for the things that are important for you and that are good for your productivity, whether that be resting, you know, going for a walk, doing exercise, whatever it is that kind of keeps you sane before the course, make yeah. sure that you're making time mm-hmm. for that while on the course, because ultimately that will probably improve your productivity when it does come to the particular pinch points on the course where there's a lot of work to do.
Which I guess is a skill set that's reflective of the one needed in the profession too, because competing
yeah.
demands require us to... There are always more young people that we could see and help, and if we dedicate too much of ourselves to doing that, then we'll never be able to do it well, I guess. We have to find that limit for ourselves, which is hard to do. So do you think it's good for people to be thinking about developing that skill before the course, or just to be prepared for the idea that they will need to develop that skill shortly after joining?
I think it's quite likely that a lot of people will already have started developing that skill a little bit, I think. Just obviously, in order to be able to go into the course, you would have done certain roles and had certain experiences that kind of enable you to be able to take that on. So I think, however hard it seems, you kind of know that you do have the skills, and you've been chosen because they've seen that you've got the skills. And so I think that's always important to keep in mind as well, that like you can do it, and they've chosen you because of that.
Yeah. And also I think just bearing in mind the fact that people work in different ways, so not kind of comparing if somebody's been working all weekend and you haven't, is just maybe just be prepared for the fact that everyone works in different ways. And although you're all in the same boat, as in you're all doing the same work, and it's nice sometimes to be able to just have a bit of a kind of peer supervision about that kind of thing, but yeah, just being aware that it'll be different for everyone, and if what works for you works, then kind of just be confident in that.
Our next question: what do you particularly enjoy about the course here at Southampton? It says in brackets, this might include if you know other people studying elsewhere, impressions about how it compares with other courses, although that might be tricky to do.
I think in first year, I think a lot of us enjoyed the fact that it is quite kind of a slow start for placement, but in the sense that you do a few things in a lot of depth, and so it's almost more of a case of like quality rather than quantity with casework. And I think this year, although last year I might have felt other people at other unis were doing more casework, I think I've seen the benefit that I've done it in a lot of detail, and I've kind of got an idea of what the whole process should look like. So I think that's quite a nice thing about Southampton being based in a primary school for the whole of the first year, or a primary and a secondary, rather than lots of different schools.
Yeah, I think it gives you quite a lot of chance to just kind of practice a lot of different things that you might not do if you were instantly thrown into a local authority. So I know I think I value being able to sort of practice lots of different assessments on lots of pupils, which I know that I wouldn't have had the opportunity to do if I was flung into a different model than Southampton has. And yeah, I think just like kind of seeing the sort of different systems that like one particular school has can be quite helpful, but more than you might realise to begin with.
Yeah, I think it's really helpful, especially if you hadn't had experience of being in schools before the course as well. It really gives you that sort of foundation, because I hadn't really had much experience of that at all, and it was really lovely to be sort of immersed in that environment and to be able to have conversations with the staff and observe lessons, like learn about like the progression of learning and just all the things that I really didn't know about before very much or didn't feel confident with. It was a really good way to learn all of that, and really lovely to sort of be part of that team and that environment, and yeah, to spend time sort of trying out different assessments, and it not really, you're not having to worry that it's going to contribute to something, because you can, you know, do assessments with named pupils who have consent to practice with, so it's not always as daunting, and you can build up that confidence. So I've really enjoyed that experience in my first year.
And I think on the flip side of that, if you're listening to this podcast thinking, well, I've had loads of experience in schools, and how am I going to find the slow start? Is it going to be a bit boring? I had been an assistant for like 3 years before I got on the course, and actually I really enjoyed the slower start, because no matter what your experience has been before the course, it's such an invaluable opportunity to work with a different educational psychologist, and, you know, almost go back, pretend that you don't know anything, and just go back to the beginning and mm-hmm. have that journey again, and you can like reflect a lot on some of the things that you did in your last role that you thought were particularly valuable that you haven't had the chance to do on placement, and vice versa, things that you thought, oh, I did that in my last role, maybe I shouldn't have done that. So even if you have had a lot of experience in schools, it's still a really valuable opportunity to have that slower start in the first term mm-hmm. on placement.
That's a good point. I think I've also enjoyed more kind of uni-based stuff is the fact there's a lot of trainee-led things, so like problem-based learning and PBL, and we do journal club as well, where somebody, one of the trainees, presents a paper and then we all critique it together. And I think it's just firstly just been really fun to get to work with other trainees and do group work, and it kind of helps you get to know each other when you're new on the course. But also I think I have developed quite a lot of kind of presentation skills, and it helps you kind of develop those skills about speaking up in a group and saying what you think, which can be really helpful on placement as well. But I don't know how that compares to other courses particularly, but I think that's kind of characterised my first year of having lots of fun in PBL.
If you're interested in listening to some of the PBL podcasts, on the Educational Psychology Rock.
I have a friend who's at Manchester, and I met her at the DCP conference in January, so I'd been on the course for about a term, and she's like, oh, we've not really had any deadlines yet. And I think at that time it was a particular pinch point and we had lots of stuff in, and my initial thought was, oh, that's so like not fair, like I wish that I didn't have loads of work in. But then I know this is like ultimate positive reframing, but I just think you're on this course to learn, and the more sort of assignments that you have in, the more presentations that you do, like Sophie was saying, the more skills that you're learning, and you're going to take those with you into the profession. So I think it is just important at those times when you're feeling particularly stressed, and to actually think, well, actually I'm learning a lot from this experience, whether that be I'm learning how to manage my time, I'm learning how to, you know, do a presentation, when actually that's something that I have previously found quite anxiety provoking. It's about trying to reframe those experiences into how are they positive for me.
Mm. And I think I did, after about those first 6 months, I think I did look back and think, well, I've actually learnt so much already.
Yeah,
you kind of can't believe how quickly it happened. So
definitely.
There is a positive to it.
Do you have any advice about useful preparation for the course itself as opposed to the application process?
I think that my advice, I know in the summer before I got on the course, I bought all the textbooks and I was like reading them all. And it's important to feel, I think for me that was more just to reduce some of my anxiety, that at least I'd done something in that summer, because I had the summer off. But actually just make the most of having time to rest and to spend time with family. Particularly, like for me, I relocated from Manchester to Southampton, and it was really important for me in those months to spend time with family, because now I don't really get to see them a lot. So I know that question's probably geared towards what can you read and what can you do and how can you prepare, but actually I think not preparing is preparing in itself.
And I think equally, if you did want to read, there's kind of a lot of more like psychology books that are a bit more general, that are maybe, I don't know, I feel like maybe that could be a bit more useful than reading textbooks, because I think you learn more of the sort of specific knowledge that you need. But
or just read about
if you
the
do want to read
trust
you.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a sort of specific thing that if you haven't read, you'll be at a disadvantage.
I think I would say as well, so in Southampton we have a buddy system where in our first year we get given, that sounds really strange, we get paired with somebody from second year, to just kind of like ask questions and things like that. And I think looking back, I wish that I had asked more questions, because I don't think I asked any. And then I got paired with somebody this year who asked me loads of questions, and I thought, they're brilliant questions, I really wish that I'd asked that before I started, because I found out, like, you know, 6 months into the course and she's finding out at the beginning. So I think using that resource is quite a good idea.
No stupid questions either. Like, there are questions that I kind of wish I'd asked that I'm probably afraid of asking because I didn't want to, you know, seem silly. But actually, there aren't any stupid questions.
I suppose it's just giving yourself an idea of what to expect, isn't it? Like, making the most of all those resources to just, kind of know what's coming up, maybe.
I think I would also say, I know that a lot of trainees, before they get on the course, have a trainee group on Facebook or social media. And that is a really valuable opportunity to connect with the people that you're going to be on the course with, but at the same time, don't look at what their experience is and think that your experience is not adequate enough and doesn't prepare you well enough for the course, because one of the best things about the course at Southampton is that we do a lot of problem-based learning, so we work with other trainees on the course, and you do find that the range of experiences is so valuable, and you really do learn from people. Like, I've been an assistant EP before the course, and I remember one of the other trainees thinking, before the interview this was actually, I've never been an assistant EP before, like, she's going to know so much more than me. But then she'd had experiences that I just absorbed all her knowledge, because it was just a complete, I mean, I've never been a teacher before, so there was things that I didn't know. And whatever your experience is, don't think that it's not valuable and that it's not adequate, because it really is, and people will learn from you on the course.
I think it's a really good point that diversity of experience contributes to the course, right? It contributes to all our learning. So it's sort of, it's something that we value and look for, is diversity generally. So, what was your first day on placement like?
I think our first day was a half day.
Yeah.
So on a Monday, I guess it'll be the same next year, but we have research methods at uni in the morning. And then we had our first afternoon of placement in the afternoon. So we were all kind of together in the morning, and then we all went off in our placement pairs to our different schools. And I suppose it was like everyone's first experience of doing the journey and doing that whole day where you're kind of in two places. And I think we'd already met our field tutors at like a lunch a couple of weeks before. So I think we went and met our field tutor at our school and met with some kind of key people in the school, like the head and the Senko, and just kind of had a bit of a chat about our kind of expectations for the year, had a tour of the school, did a bit of sort of housekeeping stuff, reflected with our field tutor a bit afterwards, and that was it, I think. So I think it was quite chilled and just like a nice introduction.
Yeah.
So that was my first day.
I feel like I had a slightly awkward start, where I was kind of like thrown into a staff meeting to introduce myself. Mm. And it was slightly strange, just because, I don't know, I was trying to sort of, you know, be lighthearted, maybe make a couple of jokes, and sort of had a tumbleweed silence ensue, and it was so awkward. I've never gone more red in my life. But actually, as it happened, I think they were just having a really busy day, that was it. And I kind of sort of learnt that, you know, they were a really fun school, they were really kind of engaging. I don't know if that's the most positive thing to say, but it was
it's just sort of finding how you slot in, isn't it, at the beginning, and getting to know everyone. And can you remember now?
No, yeah, I can. Well, I can only remember after listening to your experience, because I was like, oh yeah, I did a similar thing. We went and had an introduction with the head teacher, the Senko, and the inclusion lead in the school, and then we had a planning meeting. So the EP sat down with the Senko and the lead for inclusion, and we kind of went through the amount of days that they had throughout the year and the children that they were applying for an education health and care plan for, and what they would want, case children that they would want particular pieces of casework. And then during those discussions, the educational psychologist was thinking about who the trainees could work with. It was quite a relaxed first day, to be honest. Definitely nothing to worry about. The whole first term in general is, like we were saying earlier, is quite a slow start, so
It's more kind of learning and information gathering and watching, shadowing, and just asking loads of questions. I think that's one of the most helpful things, is just watching and asking, what do you do about this, and what interventions do you use, and just like really, really getting to know the school, I suppose.
I guess you've got one of the things that's worth noting is that you are on placement sort of together with two people, aren't you, in the first year. So heading out to that first school, you're sort of not on your own, and that might have some positive elements and might have some negative elements, I don't know, but it's something to bear in mind that at least you're not on your own in that first school.
No, definitely. And I found that my placement partner throughout the year, we were really supportive of each other, and it was really lovely to have that placement partner there, to support you both personally and with academic stuff, with placement things, someone to bounce ideas off of, and it was really, really helpful for me having that.
I think you learn a lot from having a buddy as well.
Yeah.
So I think, again, like we were saying earlier, everyone's got quite different experiences on the course, so the way that you're kind of experiencing the school and how you're perceiving it are quite different. So I think you can kind of, you'll see different things and then you'll talk about it and you'll kind of learn from one another through that process. So I think me and my placement partner had quite different experiences before we came onto the course, and that turned out to be a really positive thing for both of us. And we both learned quite a lot from one another. So yeah, the same as Alex, I really appreciated having a buddy on the course.
How far are you commuting every day now?
Mine's less than an hour. I think it's about 45 minutes. But it's actually, so that's to placement, probably about half an hour to uni. But on a placement day, often on the way there, I'm kind of thinking about what I might be doing anyway, or listen to a podcast or something. And then on the way back, I quite like the headspace just to sit and sort of reflect on the day. So yeah, it's about 45 minutes, but it's not too bad.
Yeah, similar. Mine's about an hour with traffic, I think. But again, like Sophie, it's just a chance to kind of listen to podcasts or maybe, like, I don't know, belt out a bit of music.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really lucky in the fact that my placement this year is just around the corner. So it's I mean, I could walk there, but it's up a massive hill, so I won't do that. It's 5 minute drive, but actually my schools, just bear in mind that your schools can be in quite a different area to where your office is. So my schools are actually sort of 45 minutes to an hour's drive. So then it becomes really important to sort of manage your time effectively and perhaps try and do one day in that area, going to a couple of different schools and then saving yourself one day in the office. But yeah, I think sort of commutes range quite a lot throughout our year.
Yeah, and also because you are in different places every day, it's not necessarily the same journey every day.
Yeah,
so some of my schools
are
nearer than the office, so sometimes it is less than that actually.
Yeah.
So.
I was thinking, Lindsay very helpfully gave me a look that was like, of course, you're in year two now, so your placements are more diverse and you're in a range of schools, which is quite different to year one, where it's all a little bit, for most of the way around, is a bit closer to home, at least in terms of closer to Southampton.
Yeah.
And you're only in one or two schools, so a little bit of a less commute. Did you find that the commute was easier last year than this year? I genuinely don't know the answer to that question in my head.
For me, I'm probably an anomaly because last year I was in Southampton and I live in Southampton, but I had to drive to my schools, my primary and secondary school, whereas this year my schools are in around the corner from my house, so I can walk to all of my schools and I can walk to the office, but I don't think that is a common experience across the cohort, so don't get your hopes up. But yeah, that's my experience of it's really, and I quite like walking. I think there's probably schools that I could drive to, but I just quite like having a morning walk if the weather's nice, which it is down here compared to Manchester where it rains all the time.
I guess it can be quite a diverse experience, really.
Yeah.
And you can, on year two and three placements in particular, there can be anywhere in the SEAL consortium. So there's a wide range. We have people placed in London, people placed in Portsmouth, Bournemouth, Medway. So quite a range of placements for people, actually.
Mm.
Which I guess is both strength and weakness, in a sense. There's a diversity of places you might wind up. And that gives you a sort of a range of experiences of different educational psychology services. But at the same time, you might be commuting some way.
Mm.
I think that might be probably similar for most courses.
Yeah.
So how would you describe the pace and or style of learning on the course?
I think like we were saying earlier, I think the pace changes quite a lot. Like it can be quite fast. But there are definitely points where you can sort of like breathe a little bit more and a little bit more, maybe not too much. I don't know, I think it's quite a good pace though, because I think it does give you that opportunity to learn a lot. So I think I've been quite impressed with how much I've managed to learn. Like I almost wish I'd kind of like go and meet like year ago me and kind of talk to myself and sort of recognise how little I maybe knew at the time.
I think it depends on your experience prior to the course as well. So the pace at some and sometimes in the course can be quite fast if it's you're learning about something that you've not done before, or it can be slow if you're learning about something that you did quite a lot prior to starting the course. So yeah, I think it can just depend on your experience. But the style of learning I've really enjoyed. So in first year you have quite a lot of input from the tutors on the course, who are all amazing. So yeah, it's quite nice to have, there's a lot of tutor-led sessions, and then you also have the problem-based learning where you can learn in your group and kind of dive into a particular area that as a group that you can learn a little bit more about and present back to the rest of your cohort. So I particularly enjoyed that last year.
Yeah, and then you have the opportunity to work in different groups as well. So for example, we do a small scale research project in the first year, and that will be with a slightly, that will be with a different group probably to who you did your problem based learning with. So it's a really good opportunity to work with other trainees as well.
Yeah, and I think once you get going, a typical week in first year is probably quite a variety, isn't it, of kind of input where you are more sitting and listening, group discussions. You might have an afternoon where you're working on a group presentation or something. Obviously you have some placement days, so it feels quite varied in that sense, but there's usually sort of like an overarching theme, isn't there? So if we were kind of looking at literacy for a while, the essay was about that, we did a PBL about it, and then I think we had some tasks to go away and practice some literacy assessments on placement, so it all sort of links together, and I guess you learn about the same thing in lots of different ways almost.
Yeah, and it's really helpful to be able to apply that knowledge in context on placement as well.
This feels like an interesting question. How do you feel at the end of the week?
Tired?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, I do feel pretty tired.
Yeah, just very tired. I'm always thankful that it's Thursday, aka what I call Friday, because we have Fridays at home, but you do need to use that to study. But yeah, I'm just always very tired. It's quite nice on a Friday to just get up and do work in your PJs on the sofa, or yeah, just be at home. But yeah, I'm always very tired and relieved that another week down.
Yeah, sometimes the end of the week ends up being your reflection time as well, because you have to do a weekly log every week where you kind of reflect on what you've been doing. So I guess sometimes it feels like a bit of a chance to look at what you've done and kind of, yeah, reflect a bit on what you've learned. And often my brain will be whizzing with something that's been going on, or I'm kind of in the process of discovering, or but yeah, that I'm tired.
I think that's probably understandable. Like, I was thinking about how the course pushes you quite hard actually, and and as a sort of consequence you get quite tired. You also have to kind of develop skills to try and manage that, but there's also sort of, I mean, from my perspective, seeing you develop so quickly, you know, you go through such a journey of, you know, of becoming a professional educational psychologist. And I am interested by that idea that you're talking about, Beckett, that you could go back and see yourselves when you first started the course, and how much that you change as a result of it is, to me, something that I find a great privilege to witness, actually.
Yeah, we could have said that at the beginning for what do you wish you'd known, actually, is that it is quite a personal journey as well as academic. Like, it sounds a bit cheesy, and I think people said that before, and I was like, oh, I don't know if it will be, but I think because you do so much reflection, don't you, and kind of through supervision and stuff, you almost can't help but to kind of develop personally as well. So I guess sometimes that can feel uncomfortable, and sometimes it can feel quite nice. It's just, yeah, something to not underestimate, maybe.
Yeah, I guess your kind of ways of coping and managing demands are all quite tested by the course, and make very good professional EPs by the end of it. So, last question: has anything about the course surprised you?
I think the problem-based learning tasks that we did in first year surprised me. I think I found it difficult to sort of know what they would look like or what they would really be, and I don't think I thought they were going to be as much fun as they were. I think it kind of gave us a bit of a chance to sort of be quite creative. So we were also given a learning task to kind of go off on, kind of present back on. But how we did that was kind of up to us. And I know that our group particularly really enjoyed that. We definitely got a bit of drama in there, a little bit of role play. Yeah, a few slightly odd things. But yeah, that really surprised me. It was a lot of fun. It was quite creative. and yeah, I appreciated it.
I think I've been surprised maybe by how different all the tutors are in their approaches to being EPs, so it's definitely a good thing that depending on who's teaching you, it can be just such a different experience. And yeah, I think that diversity and kind of learning from everybody else's different experiences has been really good. And there's not like a sort of Southampton way that they're trying to mould you into. It's very much here are lots of different approaches and kind of explore what works well for you. So I think that I probably wasn't expecting as much. And also maybe I just wasn't expecting to make so many friends. Like, it's, when you're applying, it's so competitive and you're kind of looking out for yourself, and then you get on the course and, you know, pretty much straight away, everyone kind of bonded quite well, didn't they?
Yeah.
And it feels like a real, like, support system now. So, yeah, that was definitely a pleasant surprise.
I think related to that as well, it surprised me how resilient I am, I think, because the course is quite tricky at times. You realise how, when you reflect on those times, actually, wow, I got through that and actually it was fine. And you reflect on what helped you to get through those times and realise that you're actually a lot more resilient than you perhaps thought you were. Or that you have a, you know, really good support systems, whether that be on the course or in your family. It's going through the first year of the course that's made me realise those things, I think.
Yeah, and being able to, not just resilient in terms of sort of the demands of the course, but also personally developing and realising that resilience, the fact that you're able to get through quite significant, I don't know, personal difficulties, for example, at a time where you're on a course that is really demanding, looking back on that and realising that you can get through those things, yeah, it does surprise you, like, how resilient you can be.
Yeah. And related to that, it's okay if you do have a personal difficulty when on the course, and the tutors and your peers will be very supportive of that if that does ever happen. It's not like, no, you're on the course now, there's no room for you to ever have any personal problems. So make sure that you know, share those things if you feel like you can with your personal tutor or your peers. Because it feels like a big thing before you apply and you spend all your time applying to get on the course, and you just think the only thing I want is just to get on this course, that's all I want, and you get on the course and then there's something else, and you know, you just just make sure that you're looking after yourself as well.
It speaks to the kind of the journeys that we go on personally and as a community, doesn't it? Wow, that was lovely. Thank you so much, everyone, for offering your time for our little special episode of Tech Talks. If you are interested in hearing more episodes of Tech Talks, usually run by trainees on various topics of interest, head to the University of Southampton Educational Psychology blog to find them there. There are 3 every year, new ones to check out, so check them out. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.